There is no darkness too great that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's so far cold. The King of Kings, let your kingdom grow. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, all of creation praise your name. You are the God who restores. With just one word, the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the key. In every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. King of Kings, let your kingdom grow. All of the earth, come on, creation. restore the healing of all disease. And I sing praises, I sing praises, give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. See heaven invading this place. I see angels that praising His holy name. I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. And I see glory is falling in this place. Can you feel it? I see hope restored, the healing of all diseases. I see praises, I see praises, I give you honor, worthy to Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory.
The honor, you are our God, the one. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. And I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of
God. the one who was and who is to come, the one who has loved us from the beginning, the one who is our first and our last, our first love. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Abba. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Abba. Hallelujah. Shukaranda baba ya sante de di ay shante le wa yo ki de da baba da 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 to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31. And as I read this, I want you to imagine yourself as the people of God, because that's who we are. I want you to hear this message as the Lord speaking to you. It says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. And you, Virgin Israel, will be rebuilt again. You will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, 'Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God.' This is what the Lord says, 'Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel.'" Come on and lift up a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 We sing hallelujah! Glory to you, Lord! Glory to you, Lord! We worship you, we worship you, we give you praise. Oh, oh, oh. Let's sing that one more time. Sing it out. opportunity to worship you. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. God, we ask that you would continue to speak to us throughout this service, that you would continue to move in power and in might among us. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. God is so good to us. I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. Thank you for joining us. If you're tuning in online, we're glad that you're with us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. We welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
And I've carried the burden. that right there. Come on. Young people said that's dope. Come on. That's lit right there. I run to the Father. Fall into grace. How many of you are falling into grace over something right now? Come on. You know you are wrong. You know you need the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, worship Him together today. Put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, let that wash over you this morning. Sing it. Oh, oh, come on. Hallelujah. Wash over you this morning. Shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Let he that is dead to sin live, not live any longer in it. So Lord, we just surrender our passions to you today. Some of us are passionate about the wrong things. Lord, let us lay those down today. Let us run to the Father again and again and just receive his mercy and his grace. Somebody's hearing this right now. You may be in the building, you may be online, but if you're hearing that and it's for you, you saw my condition, had a plan from the start. I want you to meet me here at this altar. Come on, somebody's hearing that in this room. I get that in the Holy Ghost right now. If that's you, come. Put your mask on, do what you got to do, but come.
Plan from the start.
Listen to these words.
Your son for redemption.
The price for my heart.
The price for my heart. And I don't have a context
for that kind of love.
I don't understand.
Oh, I can't comprehend.
And I know that I need you.
Context. I've been all out there. I've been in the wrong places, doing the wrong things. But in the context of your heart right now, you know God has laid his hand on you. So I'm not here to embarrass you. The Lord loves you. Let him wash that over you throughout this service. Jesus, we just honor you today. Thank you for the multiplied many, God, that are watching online. Thank you for the nations. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you, God, for allowing us to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. The enemy intended to shut it down, but it's really just exponentially magnified. We've witnessed that in our own life. And so we ask you to do a thing today. Do a new thing. Do a new thing in our hearts. Do a new thing in my heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sound like a winning team. Come on. Hallelujah. And thank you guys. Man, y'all just knock it out today. Did you appreciate what they did today? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you for leading us in worship. Praise the Lord. God is so good. A shifting in the church. I've had the privilege of preaching to you now for multiple services on the vision and the mission of this house. And so I thought in my spirit, actually, we had a missionary plan for today, and that didn't pan out. God helped them. They're working through some issues on their end. We will hear from them, but I wasn't really planning on preaching today. So, you know, preachers got to be smart. You line up the trip, you go skiing, and you don't worry about having to study. Come on, are y'all with me? I'm not dumb. I didn't fall off the turnip truck. Come on. So you just work it out so that when you get done, you're just like, ah, man, I just go home, see the saints at church on Sunday and not have to preach. Well, the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not, okay? So today, we follow this this series of messages. Stay with me. Follow this series of messages on love, win, build, and send, because that's the vision and the mission of this house. So I was like, Lord, what do we say next? You know, I wasn't planning on really bringing a tremendous challenge today, so evidently you want me to, so what do you want me to say? And the Lord just clearly spoke to my heart yesterday. I'm not for Saturday night specials. I stay ready. I stay ready in preaching. I plan ahead. There's times that I've planned the whole year at one time, you know, just boom, 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 right on down the line. Listen, if God can speak to you about a Sunday, he can speak to you about a year. Come on. Amen. So I asked the Lord, what would you have me to say? And he said, talk about this, a shifting in the church. And then I come to church, and you're singing songs about the atmosphere changing. And the atmosphere. And I thought, wow, God, you just lined us up. Kudos to Josh for choosing those songs today. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is what? It's changing. Amen. I used to sing. I can sing. Amen. Amen. The atmosphere is shifting. And so I want to read a passage of scripture to you. What? From vision to mission. Now what? Just punch your neighbor in the elbow or pull their mask down and say, now what? Come on. Amen. Hey, you have to wear a mask on the ski slope too. Okay. Even though you're 15 feet apart from the people in front of you and it's cold. Amen. So what next, Lord? Now what? And so I'm drawn to this passage right here from the book of Acts chapter 4. The verses are 23 to 31. Let's keep it real. In the context here, Peter and John have just experienced an amazing manifestation of the Holy Ghost upon their prayers. I mean, they're just walking up to the temple. The Bible says at the hour of prayer, they're walking up to the temple. You know, this is what they did. You got to realize, you know, when you see people in the Bible come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they still went about their Jewishness. Now, some of y'all won't get that. Some of you will scratch your head and say, what's he talking about? but they still went about their Jewishness. I think if you study the life of Paul, you would just be berserk thinking, why does this guy keep doing this stuff? You know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with you doing Old Testament things. Amen. Come on, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And look at what you do on Facebook. You're jamming, slamming somebody. You know, we bear false witness all the time. Amen. I mean, and Jesus redefines these things. You speak against your brother and you can kill him. Come on, Jesus said, look, you don't have to find you another woman, or if you're a woman, find you another man and hook up with somebody to commit adultery. You can do it in your mind. Jesus said you could. He said, because if you look on her with wrong intentions, you already committed adultery in your heart. Come on now, that's tough. But then I'm not really thinking that it's really good to just take the old covenant and toss it in the trash and say, well, you know, we're new covenant Christians. That don't apply to us. Can I just tell you, from Genesis to Revelation applies to you, honey, okay? Whether you like it or not, okay? Now, there are some things that are redefined, and I say thank the Lord, amen. You know, it's just different. It's different. But some of this stuff is hard, but you will find these New Testament guys doing old covenant things. Here's an example. What did they do? They still went to the temple every day. They're going to the temple. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 4, I'm in verse 23 to 31, on their release. Now, I'm just studying the Bible out loud, okay? I tell you that almost every week. But that's what I'm doing. I'm studying out loud what I've studied quietly. God, listen, if you're in the ministry, God will never anoint publicly what you haven't done privately. Okay? Just remember that, okay? You need to have your time where you concentrate, focus. Nobody has to even know it. You can be sitting there in the den watching TV. They think you're watching TV. No, you're thinking about spiritual things. You don't have to be in a hole somewhere, in a cave somewhere. Those are good moments. But you can be about your Father's business very quietly and no one ever know it. So here, in the context of this passage, these guys have just been released from jail. Okay? Let's put it in the context. On their release, it's not hard to figure this out. Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. Man, they put these guys through the ringer. They attacked their belief system. Okay? They when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now, I want you to notice here, studying out loud again. Now, I want you to notice here, you see a quotation mark. What that means is I'm reading to you what they said. And what they said here was said to who? Not to each other. They positioned their hearts to God and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, sovereign Lord. They said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. You see, they hinged it back to the old. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord. Amen? They gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Talking about Christ, Christos in the original language, the anointed one of God. He's the Messiah. Okay? Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city, check this out, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Sometimes things happen that you don't like, but it's God's will. Some of y'all didn't catch that. I said, sometimes things happen that you don't like and you can't believe we are where we are when we're where we are. But can I just tell you something? God is in control, okay? Now, Lord, he says, even though all this bad stuff, even all this conspiracy, even though all this craziness, even though we done been to jail in your behalf, because of you, we ended up in jail. Now, I want you to do this. Can you picture this in your mind's eye? Just as soon as Barney came and got the key off the wall, come on, and let those guys out, they stepped right outside of the courthouse in Mayberry and joined hands. They didn't say, come on, y'all, let's go up to the prayer room. They didn't say, come on, let's go somewhere quiet where they won't hear us. They didn't do that. They stepped right out of there in Holy Ghost boldness, and this is what they said. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And the Bible says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was, and you need to underscore this word today, it was shaken. Can I just tell you something? God is doing his best to shake the church in America. Can I just say that today prophetically? God is doing his best to shake the church in America. And I think he's doing a good job of it. I think we're being shaken. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And you're evaluating faith, and you're evaluating the work of the Spirit, and you're evaluating the church, and you're evaluating your whole position with the things of God. The Bible says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all, underscore this word, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened because of their being filled with the Holy Spirit is there came a great boldness, because the Bible says that they spoke the word of God boldly. I love the narrative here. This is a narrative style sermon. It's telling a story. I love the narrative here. Peter and John have just been released from jail. They didn't rob the bank in Jerusalem. Come on. They didn't break into a business. They didn't do anything that was against the civil laws, the legalities of that community or of that jurisdiction. They didn't do anything like that. What they did was extremely opposed by the chief priests and the ruling elders. And you know what they were doing? They were just acting out the behaviors of spirit-filled living. I got about a half a dozen amens. They were just acting out the behavior of Christians who are filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-initiated ministry. I can't tell you enough that you and I need to start tuning our antennas toward the things that the Holy Spirit is allowing you to do and is setting you up to do during this season of your life. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. People are still filled with fear. Imagine with me for just a moment. I'm coming from this direction. Imagine with me pulling up to the post office in Ahoskie. You know where I'm at? Church Street. I pull up to the post office. I get out of my truck, and I'm proceeding toward the post office. And I see a man way, way down the parking lot on the other end. I've parked on this end. He's parked way on the other end. And he's proceeding toward me. And about the time I get about as far as from here to Abdul from him, he's walking, I'm walking, I speak to him, he goes, and he stops. I look around, and I thought, I wonder what the deal is. He stopped, so I looked at him, he said, you can go ahead. I thought, bruh, you are 40 feet from me, 30 feet at least. He said, you can go ahead. As God is my witness, I walked into the post office, grabbed my keys, went to box for the church, 395, been doing this for 29 years, unlocked the box, got my mail, come out, where's he at? Still standing out there 40 feet from the door. He said, have a good day. And when I left, I looked in my rearview mirror, and he turned and looked both ways and then walked in the building. That's what I call scared. He's afraid. That is afraid. Please understand, I respect your mask. Some of you don't think I wear one, but I do. I've been seen in public wearing a mask. Okay? I do wear them. I have about 10 in my truck on the dashboard. I've learned the people that give them to you. Okay? So I just get one new one every time. Okay? Would you like a mask? Yes, I'll take one. So I got a bunch of them. If you need to borrow one, I got some that I hadn't breathed in yet. Come on. Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying to you is we're in a society right now. Hear me online. Hear me in the world today. We're in a society today that many people are gripped with fear. Fear. They're afraid. I get text messages every week of my life. I got several of them yesterday, today. Pastor, have a great weekend. I'm coming back. You don't have to tell me this. I appreciate you keeping in touch with me. I respect that. Hear me. Let me give you my statement right now. I respect you if you're at home right now watching this message online, and I thank God we have the capability to do that. And if you feel that right now for you in your season that that's the best place for you, then I respect that. Okay? I'm not angry about that. I'm not. I don't think that's the better route, but if that's what you feel is best for you, I respect that, and I look forward to seeing you soon. All I'm telling you is, man, this society is afraid. This society is afraid. Now all we hear in the news every day is, well, they got the shot and they died. They got the shot, and in that second round, man, somebody told me they shoot crystals in you. There's all kinds of more theories being run. People are getting stuff with a shot. I told you 6 months ago, I'm not for the shot. Did you take the shot yet, Pastor? No. I'm not taking a shot. And I'm not criticizing you if you did. If you felt like you can take the shot, take the shot. But I'm not taking the shot. Why? Because I don't trust these people. That's as simple as that. That's my answer. That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. I don't trust the people. I don't trust the people. I don't trust the folk for what's in it. I don't want 20 years down the road, and I'm planning on skiing again when I'm 80, bless the Lord. I don't want 20 years down the road to come into some crazy thing that's happening to my heart. Well, and they say, did you take that shot like 20 years ago? Yes. This is what you're going through, sir. It's happening all over. I don't know that, but all I'm telling you, somebody say, for the pastor. For the pastor, for me, that's my position. I'm looking at people right now that I know because you told me you already had your shot. Bless your heart. I don't love you any less, respect you any less. If that's what you feel like the will of God is for you, then go for it. But all I'm trying to tell you this morning is, the culture, the society, the world that we live in is scared. You don't know who you can trust or what you can trust or if these are facts or if you got to fact check them. And can you trust the fact check? Come on, you don't know what you can trust. You don't know what you can trust. The only thing I know that you can trust is His Word, His infallible, holy Word of God. You can trust His Word. And His Word gives us a story today of men who were also facing conspiracy. They were also facing all kinds of lies. They were also facing challenges simply because they stood for the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were thrown in jail. And they didn't let the jail, they didn't let the jail experience stop them. Consider their threats, Lord. In the name of Jesus, stretch your hand out. You know what got them in jail to start with? A healing. Did you notice their prayer? Come on, talk to me. Did you notice their prayer? A healing put them in the jailhouse. A man who's been crippled from birth, sitting there, alms for the poor, alms for the poor, and they're going to the temple in Jewishness every day. Jesus went there every day. He reclined at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, just steps away from Jerusalem. He stayed there and walked to that temple every day. And so they were just going through their deal. And when they see this guy laying there, he's begging. And they thought, man, you know what? This is what we feel the Holy Ghost saying. We don't have any money. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received the strength, and he's running around Jerusalem like a gazelle deer, leaping and jumping and shouting. Why? Because he's lived his entire life a beggar who cannot walk. And so they pray. They said, Lord, consider their threats. Now verse 30, stretch out your hand to do what? To do the same thing that got us in jail to start with. I don't know about you, but for me, fear is gone here. I wish you could see this. Fear is out the door. Pastor, I don't know how you can be so relaxed during this COVID thing. I'm not scared. I'm not operating in fear. Ain't going to. Ain't not a good word? Ain't going to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to act in fear. Well, you ain't taking the shot, not because of fear. I'm not scared of the shot. And I'm not saying that I will never take it. Okay? I'm going to Israel in November, okay? And it may be by then mandatory. And if I go over there, I'm also going to preach the gospel, have a little healing service in the hotel room that we traditionally do, have a little time for the believers to gather in Jerusalem. And if they make me take it to go to the Holy Land, then I might consider it. I didn't say that I was going to. I said I might consider it. Okay? Listen, you can roll the tape back and listen to what I said, okay? My words are scrutinized more than yours will ever be, okay? But to whom much is given, help me here, much is required, okay? So these guys didn't break any laws. They just simply are preaching and teaching and laying hand on folks in the name of Jesus. What they did was extremely opposed by the chief priests, by the ruling elders, but they were just responding to spirit-filled living. So what do we do, Pastor? What's next? Love, win, build, sin. If you understand the goal, the mission, the vision of you as a believer, and especially you as a part of this church, then the next thing you should expect is this. You should move out. Last week you were sent. Were you? Some of you ain't gone nowhere. Last week you were sent. We talked about Bible studies. We talked about sending out Bibles. We talked about supporting missions. We talked about sharing your faith, sharing the gospel. My question is, how long is it going to take you to get up off your blessed assurance and do something for Jesus? We need to be shaken. And if this thing can't shake the church can't be shaken. Fresh out of the upper room, these guys make their way to the temple at the hour of prayer and run into a man who's just begging for his life to be changed. You're running into people every day of your life who are begging for change. I saw a guy yesterday doing ministry somewhere. I don't want to say too many words because they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But I saw a guy doing ministry live. And he showed a picture of a person who was acting strange. And he just simply made a statement and said, this guy sure is acting strange, like he's demon-possessed or something. And I thought, why are you standing here doing a Facebook Live? Why don't you grab the oil, sir, and get busy? If you think you're dealing with demon possession, get the man free. He wants to be free more than you will ever know. Lord, if you're willing, You can make me clean. Remember those words? People that are locked in and bound up by circumstance really don't want to be there. They really don't. Some of you may be locked into circumstances that you just say, you know, I don't even know why, how I got here or why I'm here. You're there for a reason. And guess what? It's up to you to discern, to discover, to define, to declare why it is you're there and get yourself from spot A to spot B as quickly as possible in the power and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Get out of your circumstance and move on to better territory. Come on. Some people just enjoy being stuck. I know some people like this. Pastor, pray for me. I mean, oh my goodness. I ain't praying for you no more. I've been praying the same prayer over you, and you ain't moved an inch. You know why? Because you don't want to move. So why am I going to waste my prayers over you? Because you don't want to move. You just like the attention you get in your stuckness. Quote that on Facebook. You just like the attention you get in your stuck circumstance. Okay, stay there as long as you want to. Remember the man who laid by the pool of Bethesda for so many years? I thought, you cornball, you could have rolled into the pool by now. Position yourself right up on the edge, sir, and the next time the waters of trouble, plunk, fall in there, buddy. But you're going to sit here for years and whine and whine and whine because you ain't healed yet. Do y'all get this? It's time for a what? A shift. This is our time. This is our season for the church to experience salvations, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the fire of God to fall down upon people. Guess what? Right now in Florida, West Palm Beach, you know what they're having? They're having a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire in West Palm Beach, where people are getting in their cars and driving to Palm Beach, Florida to do what? To go to a revival meeting during COVID. I have a friend of mine, Pastor Joy, was telling me yesterday, jumped on an airplane and flew all the way to West Palm Beach, Florida. Why? To go to a service. And testimony was that he'd been living for several years and needed a tremendous breakthrough as a Christian leader. And when he got down there, he got exactly what he needed. Come on. I just sometimes, you know, as a Christian leader, as a leader of this house, I love just coming to church. But you know what I don't like about coming to Carpenter Shop Church? Sometimes I don't like the monotony of it. Let that settle just a second. That's a strong word. Sometimes I don't like the routine of it. Come on, are you hearing me? Sometimes I don't like the predictability of it. He said, well, you're in control. No, I'm not. You are. Okay? I brought us here, but I can't go out there in the seats and raise up your hands and rattle your tongue. I can't do that. You have to speak. You have to say, praise the Lord. You have to clap your hands. You have to enter in. You have to let the Holy Ghost get in your body. You have to do that. I can't do that for you. And all I'm telling you is when people get engaged into the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit and feel the shift, somebody say shift, feel the shift in their own spirit, you're going to do something. You're going to respond some kind of way. I wasn't even supposed to preach today and I'm enjoying this. Okay? You got to do something. They were moved by the Spirit of God, Peter and John. They were moved by the Spirit of God. I've said this before in the church 100 times since I've been here for 29 years. I've said it 100 times. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. You were created to house the presence of God. The Bible says to us in Corinthians, it's in the letter to the Corinthian church, that your bodies are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body was made, created by God, to house the very presence of God. He also used the analogy in his second letter to the church at Corinth, that we are vessels. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You and I are but of the framework of the dirt. We're of the clay. We were fashioned out of the dirt of this earth. And God said, breathed the breath of life into us and said, let it be. And it was. And we were living souls. We are descendants of Adam, that first man. You see? We're living souls. And you and I are called to be keepers of his presence, stewards of the power of God. In other words, when you drive up to the parking lot and you get out of your car and you go into Walmart, when you open the door, you know what gets out? The presence of God gets out. And you're going into an atmosphere where there's a lot of people shopping who are not representatives of the kingdom of God. I've heard people say, well, you know, we all God's cheering. No, we're not. You ain't all God's children. You are not all God's children. You are all God's creation. You don't become his child until you accept his redemptive plan of salvation on the cross of Calvary, and you are grafted in because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I've been going to church all my life. My grandmama, she served the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? You don't get to go in on grandma's coattail. Just because you're in the church. Have you had a transformational moment in your life where the light was turned on and Jesus Christ became the Lord of your life? There's a difference, honey. Jesus said this. He says, it's expedient that I go. King James language, can't help it. It's expedient that I go, because if I do not go, then the Comforter cannot come. So you know the story. Jesus' post-resurrection experiences. Had some fish and cornbread and coleslaw with the disciples. Okay. And not too long, these walking out to the vicinity of that area, and they're standing there just looking at him, and he's given all kinds of commands. Go ye into the gospel, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And listen, by the way, wait in that upper room until you receive the power. And the Bible says they stand in there looking at his heels, and he ascends into the heavens. And they go back into Jerusalem and they wait according to the scriptures. They wait, and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the Bible says, the sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind filled the house. I mean, just comes in like a wind. And the fire, not real fire, just appeared like fire and came and sat down on the heads of each of them. And the Bible is fulfilling prophetic things even from the Old Covenant. What happened when Solomon finished the temple in the Old Testament? He finished that temple, and the Bible says that the fire of God came down and did what? Consumed that sacrifice. Just like that, man, the fire of God. You know what God was saying? I'm pleased with my temple. What was he saying in the New Testament when the fire of God fell on Pentecost Day? Help me here. I'm pleased with this temple. It's not a brick and mortar thing in Jerusalem. It's you and you and you and you. He is pleased with the plan that now your body is the temple. This is so good. This is so good. He said, that's why it's important that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Ghost can't come. He left, he ascended after his resurrection appearances and admonished those who heard him to go to that upper room that they would be the recipients of the promised Holy Spirit. The two recipients that we read about today are the apostles Peter and John. And we're reading about what happened to them. In other words, can I just tell you something? Natural for the church at this point. Hear this. Natural for the church at this point is supernatural. No longer is it natural anymore. No longer is it just going to the temple, going through the motions. Yeah, you've been, some of y'all been there with me. Hey, sound like a Jew, don't I? No longer do you have to do this. You know why? Because now you are the temple. Okay? You said, well, Pastor, I thought you said they still. Yeah, they still. They still went. And you know what they're saying when they do it? Here, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You know, the Shema. They're just over and over and over. They're staying right there, stuck around that first four books of the Bible, first five books of the Bible. They're just hanging out in the Pentateuch. And then when they go out there and they go teaching and things like that, then they're going to jump into the other things. But when they're in there worshiping, that's what they're doing. They're just, here is the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You know, they just worshiping the Lord the only way they know how. You ought to see it up close and personal. Then you can connect the dots. You can connect the dots. And then can you imagine, man, what it must have been like for Peter and John to turn the corner, same corner they've been turning for years, same temple they've been going through for years. And this time, man, they come fresh out of the upper room. Why? Because a shift has taken place. You know what happened? They just came out of the upper room. They just received the power of the Holy Spirit. They just received the change, the transformation in their heart. Now, instead of just going to the temple, they have become the temple. The church has been born. And so they're looking at this same man that's been begging all these years, and they just kept on walking by him. And they seized that opportunity. Why? Because a shift took place within their person. Oh my goodness, I'm just trying to get you to get this. Love, win, bill, sin, now what next? Be the church. That's what's next. Be the church. Don't you get tired of just coming to church? Be the church. Remember last week when I just told you, what if some of you just got three or four people or five people together and you just started nurturing one another? Remember me sharing the story of what this guy did? And after you do that for 3-4 months, then you say, hey, you know how we got started just 3 or 4 months ago? Now what I'd like for you to do is you break off from us and you get your own group, okay? You kicked out, okay? You're sent. Are y'all getting this? So you start doing this. And this is what happens. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. Well, you know what? Preachers are funny too. What do you mean they had a meeting at your house last night? What? Who was there from the church? From Carpenter Shop? Preachers get all bent out of shape because somebody had a little prayer meeting at their house and somebody got healed and filled. Wouldn't you rather just rejoice that God is doing something? Okay? But listen, let me go on record as saying this because it's just the truth. There's been many a preacher that got his drawers in a knot because somebody in the church started a little prayer meeting at the coffee shop. Or somebody in the church had a little meeting together. Now, I will get in a knot if you take your stuff and you think your stuff is so much better than where you came from, and you start teaching your people, you know, we really don't need to be going to Carpenter Shop. Wait a minute, where did you come from, sir? What got you to this place? Because what happens is sometimes people get out there, and instead of building the kingdom, capital K, they start building their own little kingdom, okay? Start building their own little kingdom. And they build their own little following. Yeah. Hey, man, I used to love Pastor Wallace, but I think I'm just as good as he is. What do you think? Okay. Hey, have at it. Have at it. We really need to be about the business of the kingdom. Okay? Listen, if the church, let me say this. If the church is going to survive this pandemic, we're going to have to start doing it the Bible way. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. You're going to have to. I know people sitting in this room that have meetings of which I'm not a part of. Glory to God. I say, God bless you. How's it going? What's happening there? Is God blessing what you're doing? You should be enjoying being creative in the kingdom of God and establishing things that God will show up and manifest himself in and bless. Because you have discovered that you can bring something to this equation to advance the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Now, if you don't mind, I'm stepping back up there where my notes are because I'm lost right now. We call it running rabbits. Come on, somebody. He jumped him. I couldn't help it. Okay? Look at verse 23. The Bible says that on their release, Peter and John went back. Look at what it says. Went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. They went back from jail. You know what they went back to? They went back to their prayer meetings. They went back to their prophetic words being spoken. They went back from jail to laying hands on the sick. They went back from jail to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a supernatural shift in their life, and they go back to the people that they're trying to reach to start with. And they start proclaiming the truths of God's kingdom and his Messiah. They're not going to stop. Pandemic not going to stop them. That's why, listen, it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Some people are missing out. You know what? And I know what it's like to grab your phone and watch somebody. I can watch for about 90 seconds. I got enough of that. It's hard to stay glued to a little thing in your hand. It's hard to stay glued to a screen on the TV. It is. If you can do it, God bless you. If you can do it. You and I must be about the business of the kingdom. That's why their prayer was seen in verses 29 and 30. Now consider their threats. We went through that. And the Bible says, and they prayed, and the place was shaken. I told you earlier, watch out for that word. You know what that word means? It means to be set in motion by what? By wind. To be shaken is a Greek word. In its original language, it means to be set in motion by wind, storms, or waves. They had been set into motion by the wind of the Spirit. That word in the original language is ruach. They had been set in motion by the wind of the Spirit. That same Spirit that was released from Christ on the cross of Calvary was now present inside of them, and it was his Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So for us to be shaken means that we have been set in motion by a wind, okay? What wind? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God. That's the wind we've been set in motion by. The wind causes agitation. Listen, I live on the water, man. It didn't take me long to learn. Living on the water is different. Oh, I bet he's so blessed he lives on the water. You want your stuff tore all to pieces, move to the water, okay? I remember my neighbor coming over to me saying, hey, man, he called me up on the phone, hey, you got two red and white jet skis? I said, yeah. He said, I just retrieved them out in the middle of the Choan River. I've tied them up over there at your place. And he did that for me like three times. And finally one day he came over and said, welcome to waterfront living. Let me show you how to adequately tie up a jet ski so it will not get away from you, okay? Okay, idiot. Okay, how many times is your jet ski going to break and I retrieve it? One of these days it's going to end up in the Pamlico Sound down there somewhere. Okay, living on the water is different. Why? Because there comes with waterfront living a certain kind of agitation that the folks who are up on dry land farther inland don't experience. Okay? There's always a breeze on the Choan River. And sometimes it's a very agitating breeze that tears stuff up. Limbs in the yard, trash, other people's boards that broke away. You know, it's all kinds of stuff. There is an agitation. It means to move, here we go, from one secure place. It's agitated. And that's what has to happen with you and me and the rest of us in the kingdom. We have to be moved by the Spirit of God and become agitated with the things that we're putting up with right now and move from this circumstance, oh, hear me, church, to the next circumstance where God, by His power, is moving because you have been shaken. I wish somebody would get this. It also means, I'm coming to a close here if my team wants to come back and join me. Somebody said, praise the Lord. It also means to disturb someone. The church needs to be disturbed, okay? I remember preaching several years ago. Some of my team members might remember this. Pastor Joy probably does. We were called to preach to a church. I'm not going to call the name. And it was a non-Pentecostal church. We took our music team in there, and they said, you know, we seen what y'all do online. We want y'all to come and minister. We took the worship team. We walked into this church, and he said, now, this is what he said. He said, now, look, you need what you need to do now. Don't hold up on account of us. You just be like you are. I said, okay. So we started worship, and when we got over to the keyboard, we noticed that there was a pair of Daniel Green slippers there. If you ladies know what Daniel Greens are, I sold them for years in the Hoffheimer store in Elizabeth City. They're high-class bedroom slippers. A pair of Daniel Greens laying down there on the floor, so I just took the Daniel Greens and slid them, you know, out of the way because they're right in the way of the pedals, okay? So I just slid them by the way. And it won't long before this lady comes up here and she walks up here and she goes, who moved those? I said, I did. She bends down there and she takes the Daniel Greens and picks them up and puts them right there. That's where they belong. And she walks away. I thought, Lord, this is going to be good. It's going to be real good. Because you're going to get all in this woman's mess tonight. I just know you are. That lady got so upset because, see, it was an issue of ownership. We were playing her piano that night, okay? And if I want to set my slippers up there, the question is, why are your slippers up there to start with, okay? Because I take my heels off and slip my Daniel Greens on and I play the piano with them on. Well, why don't you just wear your Daniel Greens to church then, okay? Because you got to be seen in your heels. You know, it's just an issue. She had issues. Somebody help me here and say she had issues. And so you just have to understand that there are some things, help me here, that have to be shaken, have to be disturbed for God to move. Some things have to be disturbed. Some things have to be done a little different. Okay? If you can always predict it, then you're God and He's not. Okay? And so the agitation, the disturbing, the motion has to be by the wind of the Spirit. God wanted to do something in the heart of this lady who had, in her mind's eye, had a good service labeled as one where she was playing and she had her slippers on and anybody else was a threat to her domain. Okay? But the pastor said, you come on in and do what you want to do. God moved by His Holy Spirit that night. People were blessed, set free. And it was a typical church of a denomination. I'm going to be kind this morning. It was a denominational church, of which I pulled up an article and read this morning just so I wouldn't be reading the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing. And I pulled up the article that was written in August of 2015. And in this particular denominational church, they had spoken out, somebody say out. They had spoken out against tongues. They had spoken out against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's of the devil. They had spoken out about being filled with the Spirit. And this particular denomination, it's in the records. they made a public statement in August of 2015, and an article was written about it in Christianity Today, that they removed, hear me, their prohibition against their people for tolerating or exercising what is known as praying in other tongues. For all these years, they had said, if you're going to be one of us, you are not going to speak in tongues. Not only are you not going to speak in tongues, you're not going to hang around with those who do. And you're not going to be able to affirm or approve this. We don't believe in it. But in 2015, this mainline denomination, of which you all know, made an official statement and said, we no longer speak out or disapprove of people who pray in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Can I just ask you something? Here's a good question to end this message on. What happened in at least the leadership of that movement in 2015? I would say that there was a shift or a shaking where the wind of, where the wind of God's Spirit came in and said, I want to do something different in your life. See, some people come to church and they say, what's he doing playing the guitar? What's he doing playing the guitar up there with them earrings in his ears? What are you doing criticizing him? What are you doing?
Hey, Pastor.
What are you doing criticizing?
I've been wanting to say something since like the worship right before the last song. Do we have anyone in the house as a jeweler here that works with diamonds or anything? No? I believe we do. Yeah, it's a lady here in the red shirt, Pastor Blow back there. He's a jeweler. Some others, I don't know your names. If you'll come up to the front, please. I know I don't have authority here, but if you'll allow this. I just heard this morning. It's Valentine's Day. There's someone here that woke up hoping to get a ring this morning. Are you hoping that someone didn't show you love? You left their house. Your loved one's at home. I'm the same. So if you will, if you're a volunteer, no more, you're not a volunteer anymore, you're now a jeweler, come up to the front, please, and I'm going to ask, if you want the ring in the Lord, you're the Lord's church, you're his bride. He's someone here today, he wants to make you his bride. Please come down, these people, I know it's Corona, you might be scared, but if Pastor Wallace was up here offering a diamond ring, I'm sure you'd come flying up here to get it. I'm not here to judge this morning. If there was $1 million at this pulpit, you would be up here right now grabbing it and fighting over it. There's salvation here this morning. He's here. So come down. Pastor Wallace, the jeweler, he'll fit you for a ring. And you'll be in the bride. You know, you'll be in the church. And we can start building. See a vision. We're beyond these walls. We're going to start stretching further. Don't look at this as a prosperity thing. Look at this as... He's here this morning. There's someone here that wants a ring. So please come down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything. Like I said, if you volunteers will come on down.
He's giving you the same invitation that I gave earlier in the service. Prayer team members, would you come? Ministers, would you come? Come on, stand here at the front. You want to be fit for a ring? The diamond that goes on your heart. You want to receive Christ? The Holy Spirit already spoke to you today. Do you want to get it right? Just come and stand in front of one of these people and be a recipient of the shift, of the shift. You know, I don't know about you, Lewis. I need a shift. I need a shaking. I need a change. I need God to do something incredible in my life. Stand if you would. We're going to sing in a minute. We need a shift in the church. We need a shift in our own individual life as a believer. We need something to be disturbed about us, to move us off of the complacent situation in which we find ourselves. We need a shift. So come on. Maybe you're not here to be saved. Maybe you're here because you, in fact, need a shift as well. Come and allow someone to pray with you this morning. Just step out of your seat. They can pray for you at a distance. Come on, sing it. the Lord. Such a sweet thing to smell. I smell. You smell that? I smell. This is the machinery, just so you'll know. This is a machinery that we keep running 24/7 to keep the church purified. They're up here in the corner. You see the blue lights on there? We spent several thousand dollars just buy equipment that keeps the atmosphere pure and clean. So I just want to thank God. Somebody say thank God. Thank God, because there's been many churches that have had no other choice but to shut down because they had several people in the church that had COVID. And I say, you know, to God be the glory, but God allowed us to purchase two machines that we don't turn off. They just run. And every once in a while I smell it and I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I smell clean air. So thank you for your willingness to come to church. Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing if they said, you know, we don't know what God's doing, but something happened in Ahoskie and people are buying an airline ticket to fly down there because they said that there's a revival going on. Wouldn't it be absolutely off the hook if there was just a shaking that took place? And, you know, it's not because it happens in me. Where does it have to happen? Has to happen in every one of us. Amen. They get so hungry to see God do incredible things. He's a God who can speak to diseases and they're gone. I just want to thank him for what he did today in the hearts of his people. I want to thank you for being a participant, whether you're here in the building or online. Online people, we love you. We thank God for you. A friend of mine hit me this week with a little clip. He said, listen to this guy. And it was me. He said, laugh out loud. And it was our message going forth in the nation of India. Amen. Come on. Listen to this guy. $125 for 1 week. That's all it takes. If the Holy Spirit touches your heart, hey, my wife and I, we want to pay for a week. Or my husband said we want to pay for a week. Just drop $125 in and put India. Pastor Anolia know exactly where it goes. And we're reaching people right from this little pulpit in the most unusual little town in northeast North Carolina called Ahoskie. A place where people just don't come, okay? You just don't move here by choice, amen? But God's doing incredible things. Pastor Ted, would you come, man, and just bless us with a prayer, just a prayer of blessing. He's going to pray a prayer of blessing. Somebody say blessing. Over your lives, okay? Over your lives, over your family. Protection. Keep us, Lord, from this disease. Keep us protected in Jesus' name. Love you, Pastor Ted. God bless you.
Father, we just come to you, Lord, a special blessing over everyone that is here, over everyone that's home listening, every country that hearing this word, a special blessing is going out, but not only a blessing, but a healing. Not only healing, but a boldness going out that we can serve you more and more in these days. And I rebuke any virus, I rebuke any sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We thank you for the pastor. We thank you for this church. And Father, we just pray right now that you will just lift us up in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.